everybody. Welcome back to the Trig Podcast. You're going to see this beautiful Monday, June 16th, 2025. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Talking today about graduation is here. Graduation season is here. So yesterday, I think, as I've been saying, we had the joy of graduating our youngest son, our last baby, our last college student, our young boy, David. Congratulations, my dear, beautiful son, David Dennis. I love you. You are my pride and joy, the Lion of Judah. And I wanted to go over some of the things that I learned about having three children, three young men and women graduate from college, how we did it, maybe to share some of the things, or to share that so that perhaps you can see what you can do, or to be encouraged on what you've done, or maybe if these are goals that you have, that you can not give up on your goals and your dreams. So, as I said, we have three amazing kids. They're in their 20s now, mid-20s. The two girls are college graduates. They're now into their careers. And then our young boy, he's 21, so he's not a baby, obviously, but he is graduating this year. We just went through the ceremony. He has a couple classes left, but for all intents and purposes, he is here. He's at the end of his college, at least his undergrad college career. Who knows what God may have for him in store. And, you know, Rochelle and I often, of course, feel proud of the whole process of all that we've done, all that we've seen. And for a teacher and a pastor, an immigrant and a amazing girl from Minnesota, it's not bad, as we say. It's not bad. God has been faithful. But what are some practical things that we've done to get here? Because being parents to college graduates isn't luck, isn't all just God and prayer. You have to have some commitments, and you have to know how to navigate all the ups and downs of college and all the things that kids deal with. And then, of course, now what, right? The next steps. And so how are we handling all those things? So I guess the first and most important thing, if you want to have successful college graduates, is to be an example. Be an example yourself of what is possible. Now, not everyone is a college graduate, but for both Rochelle and I, we both have master's degrees and, of course, undergrads and all that. I think that's very important, is to be an example. Now, if you don't have an education, master's or bachelor's degrees or whatever, or maybe you do, it doesn't matter, because even yesterday we heard that there were, I don't know how many students that were first-time college graduates. In other words, their parents didn't go to college, or maybe they did go to college somewhere else, or who knows. And these are very amazing stories. But I think that for the most part, you want to be an example to your kids. Now, if you cannot be an example of having a graduate degree or college degree, you can be an example of discipline and commitment and perseverance, because that's something that life teaches you. You don't have to have a college degree to do that. And so you can always model for your kids endurance, commitment, perseverance, faith in God, because those are the things that you need in life. A college degree is good, but it's not going to solve your problems or give you $1 million. It's just a beginning. But yet it is something important. And so the best thing, as I said, the number one thing is to be an example yourself. Number two is to take it easy with college. I think that being a college graduate is important, and also not as important as perhaps people think. I think it's important because it can be a career for a lifetime, a lifelong career. You can choose something that is going to be your thing for the rest of your life. You can choose something that is just a foundation for you to show your employer or yourself that you are, as I said, disciplined and committed, and that you can accomplish big deals, big tasks, because going to college and graduating from a four-year university is a big deal. And I think if you are a Hispanic like we are, kids are mixed, obviously, I think it's only 30% of Hispanics that graduate college, or maybe even less. Maybe that's just how many go to college. I don't know how many graduate. Obviously, there are more people today that are Hispanics or minorities or other kinds of people that are graduating, but it's still a pretty amazing thing to graduate college, much less to get a graduate degree, a master's or a PhD or a doctorate or something like that. And so take it easy, though, because there are many ways to skin a cat. I just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago in Spanish called Ve de burro, usa tu cabeza. And the whole idea behind that was that I think that many people, half, 80% of students in high school should pursue more practical careers, not math and science and STEM, as they call it, science and technology, etc. Because that's just not their thing. They don't have the skills, the passion, the drive in those areas. They may have them in other areas. It could be the arts. It could be business. It could be starting their own company. It could be fixing roofs or doing ACs or fixing cars, a million other things where they could raise a family and have a good income. And you don't have to be a college graduate to make money that can help you to build a life and build a family. You have to have something, but I would rather see, like I said, half, if not more, of high school students today. I'm not going to say drop out, because that's not about dropping out. That sounds bad. But to study, or quote unquote, pursue an education that is going to help them land a job and be successful and be happy. Because what I see, I was a sub in high schools and elementary schools and middle schools, and I work now at an elementary school, church slash school, is that a lot of students graduate middle school or high school or, yeah, middle school or even fifth grade elementary school without being really gifted in those areas. Now, of course, you should know how to read and write and do basic math, of course. I'm not saying to just be illiterate. But my point is, there needs to be more options, starting, I would say, in elementary school, middle school, and high school, than just the typical stuff. As I mentioned, the arts, business, entrepreneurship, practical, technical careers, such as, yeah, being a hairdresser or carpenters or someone who can, yeah, as I mentioned, fix cars, or now with tech, you don't have to be a scientist. You can fix computers. You can buy and sell phones. You can repair phones. I mean, how many people need their phones repaired, right? So I think that we're missing the boat still to this day in not making those things possible for kids starting in middle school. Because when you're a parent, you know that your kid just isn't into math and science, right? Because they tell you. Now, if they want to be rappers or basketball stars, you have to be very mindful, okay? Or do they have the skills physically and also skill-wise? But, or if they want to get into music and be a rock star, the same thing. But the point is that I think that it's important to just take it easy when it comes to college and be very smart when it comes to your kids and what they're into. And so that would be number two. Number three is college isn't cheap. It's not free. It's not $1 million, but it definitely costs a lot of money. And college times one, times two, times three in our case, times four, five kids, six kids, you're talking about a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even if they go to public schools, even if they go to Long Beach City College or to a community college, even, it's going to eventually cost you 10, 20, 30 grand a year per kid per year. And you're talking 4 years, at least, if not 5 or 6 years to graduate. So that's a ton of cash. And not every parent, not every family has the money. And then you have loans and you get into debt. And that's, I think, a path that a lot of young people have to do or take because they don't have parents that can afford that. Now, if your parents can afford to pay for your college education, then praise the Lord, right? We made a commitment as Rochelle and I, my wife and I, way back when we were married to start college funds. We had family and friends, and this is a privilege. Not everyone can do that. But by the grace of God and our hard work, we have and have had jobs that allowed us to save. And then, as I said, we had family members that contributed to our kids' college funds. We're not talking about millions, but enough to get going. And so all that to say that we put all three kids through college without one dime of debt. We don't own our kids don't owe a dollar to the government or to whoever. But that's been a sacrifice. That means that Rochelle and I have sacrificed a lot in terms of quote unquote what we would want for ourselves. Now, we still give to the church. We're faithful in all the things that we want to do as far as giving and sharing, because you have to be very mindful of all those things. But the point is, that is a privilege and a gift that comes from our hard work and many other things. So you have to be mindful of that. You have to consider, okay, do I want my kids to leave school in 4 years with a $50,000 debt or $80,000 or $100,000 debt? And then they have to pay that over the next 5 years or 10 years, whatever. I think all is possible. I haven't done that only because by the grace of God, I didn't have to, both for my undergrad and my master's degree. But my master's degree took me a long time to finish in three different schools because of finances. And so it isn't the easiest thing to do if you are broke or if you are a family with modest means or with low means, low income. And so you have to be very aware and make a budget. I'm not really big into budgets. I just simply know how much I make and how much it's going out, how much this costs, and I figure it out. But whatever, I guess it's a budget. But you have to know how much things are going to cost. And as I said, be creative and to count the cost, I guess, before you get into that. Or, as I said, if the cost is debt and student loans, then you have to be mindful of that, of the APR, meaning the interest rates and how many years they have to pay, and can there be a loan forgiveness, blah, blah, blah. So that's number three, I guess. Number four, the next one, would be to let your kids discover their own path. Let your kids get to the destination on their own. It's very easy for all of us as parents to control our kids or to be so hands-off that they don't have any guidance. It depends, right, on how you grew up or all these things. So I think that loving and reading or knowing your child specifically and uniquely is very important. To know their personalities, to listen to what they say, to guide them, of course. It's not just about whatever they want, because they may want to do nothing or take too much time off or travel or be famous or be a millionaire or hang out with the wrong crowd. So you have to obviously be involved. Now, I'm not an advocate or a fan of just letting your kids do whatever, but I think it can be very easy for some of us, including myself, to want your kids to be perfect or to, I don't know, to do things your way. And none of that is very helpful. You have to let your kids make their own decisions, make their own mistakes, which can be very hard. It's been hard for us, but you have to let them figure things out on their own. Now, maybe the next one is you have to know yourself. Because a lot of parenting, especially when it comes to 20-year-olds and college age, comes from our own hurts, hang-ups, and habits. If we messed up in college, we think our kids are going to, or we hope they don't, or we're going to control them so they don't. That's kind of my story. I kind of had some issues, and so I'm always thinking, oh no, if you were more of a goody-two-shoes, as they say, and a perfect kid in school and didn't get into trouble, then whenever your kids do anything that's not perfect, you're going to struggle. The point is, you have to know yourself. Go to counseling, figure things out, talk to mentors, get a spiritual director, learn who you are so that you're not just giving into your personality and then hurting your kids, perhaps controlling them or being so hands-off that they make really horrible decisions. I think it's good to have a balance, of course, of a mom and a dad, of a marriage, and that goes back to the marriage unit and how important that is. But if you don't have a couple, or you've gone through a divorce or whatever your situation may be, you have to have always a balance. Your mom, your sister, your friends, your mentors, you have to look for some balance to your personality, because whether we like it or not, we parent out of our own brokenness. And if we don't heal or even become aware of our brokenness, then you're going to be really messed up. And maybe the last one is to really pray. And this is maybe the first and the last, because we can't control our kids' future. And you can only give them so much or care for them enough or counsel them enough. You eventually have to surrender them to Jesus. You really do. No matter if they're in school or not, or if they have kids or not, if they're married or not, if they're at home or not, if they're single or not, or if they're in church or not, you have to surrender them to Jesus. You can't control anyone, not even your kids. I know that's very difficult, but that's probably been the biggest awakening, root awakening for Rochelle and I in these last 5-6 years of our kids being in their 20s. It's to surrender them and let them go. And it's, like I said, it might be easy for you, it might not be, based on a lot of things that I mentioned, but prayer and surrender and letting go of your own stuff, of their mistakes and their victories, of their future and their choices, good or bad, you have to say, Lord, I trust you. I can't go and fix my kid's life or tell him to do this or tell her to do that, or you can't. You can counsel, you can be a coach. When they're small, you are their caretaker. Those are the 3 C's that I've learned. So when they're little, basically the 3 C's are, when they're small, you're their caretaker. When they're in their teens, you are their coach. And when they become adults, you are their counselor. We now are in the season of being their counselor. But sometimes, of course, I want to be their coach and just teach them what I know. Or even their caretakers and just protect them or keep them from things. I am learning the hard way, trying to get out of my own way, to let them live their own lives, to let them make their own mistakes and their own successes. And we are there to celebrate and to comfort them according to what they need, to pray for them and to tell them, son, my daughter, I'm praying for you. I love you. I am here for you, whatever you need, but I trust you to God. You got this. You can do this. You're going to be amazing. You're going to succeed. And when they mess up, because they will, and when they disappoint you, because they will, and when they make mistakes, because they will, and when they do amazing things and have great victories, and they will, you have to be there next to them and forgive and love them and show grace and not be some angry parent or some crazy mom or dad, and to forgive yourself, ask them for forgiveness, ask God for forgiveness, and to commit to loving them, telling them you love them, kissing them. And so these are the things that I do. Rochelle is that way. I'm definitely more that way as far as touching and hugging and calling them. And Rochelle is very practical, and she helps them with all kinds of stuff. And so you have to kind of know yourself. But I don't think it's good for, like the Bible says, for man to be alone. And if you're a single mom, or you're alone, or you have different kids with multiple men, you have to get a hold of yourself and fix your life quickly so that you can have a better chance at raising amazing kids. And at the end of the day, though, even if we or you or me are mess ups and we make all the wrong decisions, God is faithful. But don't get it twisted. Our mistakes will affect them, and our hang-ups will become their hang-ups, and your addictions will become their addictions, and your weaknesses will become their weaknesses, and your victories will become their victories, and your talents will become their talents, etc. Your faith will become their faith. Your example of marriage and love and commitment and not cheating and not stealing and not doing drugs or drinking or gambling or being promiscuous, that will become their example. And they will follow your example, or they will rebel, or they will say, I don't want to be nothing like my mom and my dad. I guess in conclusion, our greatest gift, our greatest maybe joy, is to have three kids that, first of all, love Jesus. They all go to church. I'm not saying they're angels. I'm not an angel. But they go to church. They love Jesus, and they worship him. Second is they love each other. What a beautiful thing, right, to have children and kids that love each other. These days, even for quote-unquote rich kids, that's not normal. And our kids aren't rich, but my point is that it's not like a common thing anymore. And then I would say for them to love their parents, for our three kids to love us, talk to us, communicate, call us. We talk all the time, maybe sometimes too much, but what a joy. To yesterday, I mean, I was telling Rochelle, and my mom, it was one of the best days of my life. I was with my beautiful wife. We drove almost 3 hours to Santa Barbara. Got home like at 2 a.m. last night. Driving home, I was, man, so exhausted. I had to get up early at 6 a.m. this morning to go to work. But I felt so happy because I was with my wife, with my mom, who's here visiting, celebrating our son's graduation from UC freaking Santa Barbara. With our daughters, who also are college graduates, who both are in their careers. With Rochelle's sisters and their husbands and our kids' cousins. Some flew from Oregon, some were in town. All of them drove a ton. We went to this beautiful restaurant. We yelled and screamed for my son and gave him some gifts and flowers and all that stuff. We went and I helped him move because he has to move out of his place. And of course, Rochelle was doing all these things to love him and celebrate him. And we had an amazing dinner at this place there in Santa Barbara. If you know Santa Barbara, it's so beautiful there. And we had all this like family style Italian thing that was just so beautiful. And just to see our son, kiss him. I kissed him so many times, loved him, told him how much I love him, how proud I am of him. It hasn't been an easy year for him. It's been a tough year to be up there by himself, to feel lonely, to feel like things haven't been very easy for him. School and friends and work. He has two jobs, going to school full time. It hasn't been easy. He's learned a lot, made some mistakes, but learned, persevered. I'm so proud of him because he's learning all the skills that he's going to need for the rest of his life. Same with our girls. Maybe the last thing I'll say is there was a speaker yesterday. I don't know his name, but he was amazing. He was saying that the School of Humanities, which is what David did, that in an age of AI and so much technology, that to be human is a gift. To be human is the future. And I couldn't be more proud or believe that more, because especially as teachers and pastors here at our home, we believe in people, in love, in support, in service to others. We're not about my money, my house, my car, my life, my me. That's just normal and typical. That's very American. That's very human. Everyone likes to or would rather think of what they need than what others need. But to give is divine. The Bible says it is better to give than to receive. And this speaker talked about the joy of being in this degree or in this area of study where you deal with people and you deal with service to others. And you know, that's what I've seen in our son, really in all of our girls and all of our kids. But David for sure, he is a servant of all. He's a loyal friend. He is an overthinker. Sometimes he worries too much. He's an Enneagram 6, but that's part of him being him. But he loves people. And that's why I think it's been hard for him to not have his buddies up there with him in school. And he's such a gentle, kind young man. I am so proud of him. I love my son so much. It's so beautiful for me to see his education and his faith, all the things I've mentioned, come together here at 21. He'll be 22 here next month. And it's amazing, right, how our kids kind of just follow their conscience, follow the Spirit of God. I didn't encourage him to go on this route. I studied engineering and theology, so that wasn't his thing. And he chose to study humanities and communication, linguistics, people stuff. And it reminds me of his father, of my father-in-law, his grandfather, Dr. Dennis Baker. Rest in peace, Dad Baker, who was a networker and a connector with people. And I see a lot of David, a lot of Dennis and David, a lot of those same skills of connection and conversation. He told me once, Dad, I want to know how to talk to people, how to connect with people. And I thought, wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And so for you, my friend, learn to be proud. Learn to see your kids for who they really are, to guide them, to get out of the way, to do what you can, to pray, to be practical. And you have to pay for college. You have to know what your goals are, who you are, what example you're setting. And most of all, as I said, to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I pray for my kids that you will guide them. If your children are in elementary school or middle school, or maybe they're already out of college, continue to pray for them. My mom prays for me, and I'm 50, and I thank God that she prays for me because I sure need it. Imagine your kids, how much they need, and love your prayers. Now, if they're small, obviously, your work is different. It's harder. It's more physical. It's tiring, exhausting, especially for the moms, the young moms. But guess what, moms? You're young, so you have the energy to do all that physical labor that kids require at that age when they're small. But what a joy, what a privilege to be exhausted to deal with these issues, because what better legacy besides Jesus? What better legacy can we have as adults and as parents and as couples, as husband and wives, than a legacy of our children serving Jesus and having positive careers or outputs or positive lives so that they can serve other people and love others and give of themselves like Jesus did. So I hope that helps you. If you would like my coaching, let me know. Thank you guys for being here, and I'll see you next time. Adios.
Everything that I do, all you say is no good. Why don't you take